my tiresome history of making cheap shots at the expense of our 45th president. So today I am taking the high road with an in-depth analysis of one of the most critical problems facing the country today, his hair. All of the woes of the world can be reflected in Donald Trump's unique aerodynamic coif. It's a microcosm. The very key to the man is his golden canopy. Look at it. No, really, give it a gander. Everything about it is wrong. The color, the texture, the shape, the intended result, the finished product. Not to mention his unshakable belief that it looks good. America has questions, and our commander-in-chief needs to answer them.
Get tickets in advance at kzfr.org and at Chico Paper Company in downtown Chico and Blazin' J's. Will Durst with Hank Duke, Sunday, October 14th at the Chico Women's Club. It's a KZFR benefit.
p.m., Monday, September 10th. You know what that means, people. You know what that means, people. It can only mean one thing. Talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to Jeff, that one drunk guy we met out front of the Banshee that one time. So sit back, relax. We got you back for the next 2 hours. We want to thank you for lending us your ears and listening to this nonsense for the next, did I say 2 hours? It's only one. Two would be aggressive. Before we get into the show, we want to thank our sponsors as usual. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Sonia Airy, a local Allstate insurance agent. Sonia is concerned about the community and helps families understand their immediate and long-term needs and goals. Whether you're protecting your life, home, auto, boat, or motorcycle, Sonia can help. Sonia can be reached by calling or texting 345-2351. Thank you to Sonia. But most importantly, thank you, the listener. We appreciate you putting up with us and having fun with us each and every week. We have a lot of sports coming up next. Talking About Practice starts right now.
About practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Once again, we are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show coming to you live from the studios here in the heart of downtown Chico, California, FM 90.1 KZFR. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You know what it is. It's the squad. We're down a man today, but we're going to be just fine because he's not our Aaron Rodgers. It's your boy, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan, was hat.
What a dope.
And, of course, you may know him by Bradley Feingold. We affectionately call him Statman Brad. Statman Brad, what is good, brother?
Yeah!
Yes, I love
Let's
that.
Let's go!
I love that. All right. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. And football is back!
Yo!
Are you ready for some football?
All right, so we have a lot of stuff to get into from the
sun. Great, honestly, you guys. That was a lot of positive energy.
A lot of energy going on this around here.
It's a good Monday.
It is a good Monday. Mainly for you because Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
Basically, yeah.
I've been saying it on this show for a while. I think he is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He'll never have the 5 Super Bowls like Tom Brady. But again, if you look at what they've surrounded that man with, it is a travesty.
Now, here's the thing. He's the greatest this time right now. Like, you can compare generations, whatever, but he's not the most accomplished, but he's the greatest.
Okay,
of this generation.
Let's clarify this, though, first, because we have to look at greatness on what level. Because if we're looking at the individual scale, I'm saying Aaron Rodgers is the greatest right now.
Yes.
By form of athleticism, speed, arm strength,
intelligence,
awareness,
game.
Everything.
Yes. It's Aaron Rodgers.
But, I mean, you look at the pedigree in the game right now, I still have to give it to Tom Brady. I mean,
okay, what are you talking about pedigree?
I mean, 5 Super Bowl rings,
well, yeah, no,
and
the
MVPs.
He's the most accomplished, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
not the greatest. Here's the thing.
Did he not lead some epic? I'm not taking anything from Rodgers, but let's
don't
just
take
not,
anything away from Tom Brady.
Let's not hoop this up to be something
of
crazy.
Course.
Yeah, he is a great.
I'll hoop you up all day, Doug.
Yeah. I just.
By the way, we still need a ball.
Greatest quarterback, individual quarterback right now. I still feel Tom Brady's. Has the ability over him to get a W, though.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you put, like, Tom Brady, switch him, put Tom Brady on Green Bay and put Aaron Rodgers on...
they're in Super Bowls.
Of course, but I think he's going to do better in both positions than Tom Brady ever would in either or.
Right.
I agree. I think it's just as far as ability, you got to go Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to do the GOAT conversation.
Well,
I just want to bask in the greatness that was last night.
Yes.
John showed up at a local watering hole. We were at Bella's. He showed up shortly after Aaron Rodgers got carted off with tears in his eyes. At least so it appeared. I told John that it looked like Aaron Rodgers was done for the season.
It really ruined my night
because I was going against the Bears defense in my fantasy team, and they were all over.
Yep. Here's the thing. It looked like it because if you looked at the play, it looked like his knee, possibly an ACL tear.
Yeah.
It did not look good.
No, it looked like his season was over, and with that, so would the Packers season be pretty much done by all accounts.
Yep.
I think Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady are the two guys. Maybe you can throw another name in there I can't think of right now. That if they go down, you basically feel the season is over.
Mm-hmm. Drew Brees.
Well, but he does. At least they have Teddy Bridgewater coming off the bench for him.
Yeah.
Right now, you have Brian Hoyer backing up Tom Brady. Season's over. And you have Deshaun Kizer, who looked good for 2 plays there when he first came in. And
then followed it up with a fumble and an interception for a touchdown.
Yes, and it just... There's been his pocket presence is pitiful. He's a young guy, though. He's got time to grow. He's coming up under Aaron Rodgers, so we'll see what happens there. But I think those two guys, based on who their backups are, you kind of feel that the season would be over. And so to Aaron Rodgers' credit, he came back to the field and erased a 20-0 lead that the Chicago Bears had going. And the rest is history. Through that 75-yard touchdown to Randall Cobb in the fourth quarter. Randall Cobb... Great catch, and then just great awareness, spatial awareness to know where he was on the field, and made a couple of moves to get into the end zone, and that murder she wrote right there.
Can we talk about that misinterception that was passed straight to the Bears defense?
Oh, my God.
Kyle
that was
Fuller,
like
man.
That,
and he's a good defensive back.
He is a good defensive back.
I feel bad for him.
But, man.
Defensive genius. Coach LeBeau on the Bears says it. Every single day, it's one of his taglines. Is if you don't make those interception plays, those fumble recovery plays, more times than not, it comes back to bite you.
And it did.
And
a play or two later, it did.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to be for 75 yards in one play, but you just kind of felt that presence. I mean, to see Aaron Rodgers out there and his scrutiny lately, getting paid as much as he did, and now having to come and prove it, and just all the off-field stuff with, you know, especially being here in Chico with everyone talks, you know, family stuff and all that kind of stuff. The guy performs, man.
He went out,
showed tough, shows exactly what football's about. I mean, you could see him stepping into throws, not wanting to be on that front foot, having horrible mechanics. Don't punch me.
Sorry. I just get really angry. Sometimes I can't.
But, yeah, I mean, you could see multiple throws, him pretty much just using arm strength, no mechanics, and his just wherewithal of the field and just defense. I mean, it's It's one of those games we're going to be talking about for a long time.
Plus, you look at the Bears' defense. He only had one duel.
You mean Khalil Mack?
Yes, Khalil Mack.
Because he was that defense. Well, shout out to the Raiders.
You got to also admit Hicks was a good defender on the other side.
Yeah.
So,
no,
I mean like, they have a good defense. But here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers was down to one tool in the pocket. He can't roll out. He can't run.
And I mean, he is the king defense, of buying time.
Exactly. And the Bears did not do anything with that. They did not come at him like they should have.
I feel like they really took their foot off the gas. I mean, that first quarter, two quarters,
it was all Bears.
It had me. I mean, even before Rodgers even went down, you were thinking, wow, are the Bears this good?
Yeah.
Like Trubisky went down and scored right away within nine plays. I mean,
he was looking really good. Rodgers-esque
making great throws.
Outside
of the
pocket, too.
Moving the ball and carrying it. I mean, the Bears were on all facets firing, and then they come out in the second half, and it was like an Atlanta Falcons meltdown.
It was a different team.
It was weird, man.
It was weird. Let's talk Khalil Mack, because he was the Mack yesterday. That guy just balled out, strip sack, forced fumble, and then the very next series, I believe it was, gets an interception, return for a touchdown, earning every one of those dollars that the Bears are paying him, and then some. And just makes you question what the Raiders are doing. You're giving away generational talent, probably the best linebacker in the game right now. And I don't understand the trade. I guess, you know, John Gruden is on a 10-year contract, so acquiring two first-rounders, great. But I always find it interesting when you're going to give up a known commodity for draft picks.
Well, do you hear
Gruden?
I mean,
he's first ballot Hall of Famer already. I mean, you look at Khalil Mack, he hasn't, I mean, statistically, he's not, but what he's been doing over the last, if this is consistent of a career, this guy is going to be one of the greatest edge rushers that we've ever seen, you know what I mean? And to give, the fact that, what really hurt them was the Aaron Donald contract that the Rams signed with Aaron Donald really put pressure on the Raiders, because now Khalil Mack wants that money. Khalil Mack wants bigger money because he's not a nose tackle. He's not a D tackle.
Right.
He's coverage. He's all these different things. The Raiders can't afford that because they already gave John Gruden $100 million. Granted, that's not into their salary cap, but
that's a lot of money out of the pocket.
I mean, shoot, $141 million. Is that what it was? 141 for Khalil Mack for 5 years?
Khalil, yeah.
I mean,
Sounds about right.
That's a lot of chunk of chains, but you have to shift things around. You have to cut players. You have to keep Khalil Mack. I don't see how you – I mean, everything. Everyone on that team, that roster, respected him. He's a captain. Mm-hmm. What does that do for your locker room now? How does that trust go into John Gruden into 3 months of his campaign?
We'll see what it turns out to be. I mean, it's an early start. I mean, they're playing tonight. But the crazy thing is, Green Bay was also in the talks. They almost got Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
They just weren't willing to trade their first-round picks, and that's what decided it.
Mm-hmm. Because Green Bay's doing so well with those first-rounders lately.
Oh, amazing. It's great. It's a great
But,
time.
I mean, let's
great
be honest, time. Though. Green Bay's always been one of those franchises that is built from the draft.
It really is. But
well, you have to, for the most part, if you're in Green Bay. I mean, it's not a destination, obviously.
It's historic, but it's not like...
Yeah, there's no disrespect to Green Bay. It's just a sleepy kind of town. Yeah. You know, it's not where...
suburb of Milwaukee?
Yeah.
No, it's further north than that, but yeah.
Okay.
It's just out in the middle of... It's his own little area.
Okay.
So. Yeah. But shouts to all you Packers fans and to...
go, Pack, go.
Chico's own Aaron Rodgers, again, proving why he's so amazing. But we had a big Sunday in football, so let's kind of go around the horn here, so to speak. Let's talk about the things that we were most surprised about. And I'll start with you, John, because I know you posed this question on the rundown, so I'm... assuming you have something that was surprising.
What most surprised me, honestly, it's been talked obviously with the TV show going on in the off season. The Browns, man, the Browns really impressed me. A heated rivalry to start the season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Granted, they don't have Le'Veon Bell, but the Pittsburgh Steelers showed that they don't really need Le'Veon Bell. They have James Conner that balled out. With that crazy, ridiculous haircut that he has.
I would be scared if I was Bell, because that contract might go down.
Yeah,
now.
But it's interesting because I really thought that they were going to struggle off the gate. I mean, see, they really have the first three games are pretty tough for the schedule of Cleveland, and I was really thinking by week three, Baker Mayfield's coming in. Yeah. You know, that's going to be the start of Baker's career. Mm-hmm. We're going to see if he can sink or swim, yada, yada, yada. But
Tyrod played well.
Played mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Played well. Well enough to get that. I mean, it's funny that.
They should have got the dub, but yeah. In overtime.
Ben Roethlisberger, that defense looks stout. That defense looks good, man. They four picks. I mean, they look good. They don't look confused anymore. They look like a winning squad.
Maybe a 500
which is weird
right
to say about the Cleveland Browns, because I'm 29 years old and I've seen one decent, like 9-7 season from the Cleveland Browns.
So with that being said, my stat of the day that I was talking about the other day.
Yes.
They're
Hold on. Okay. Stat of the day. Okay, there's a sounder.
Their 0-0-1 start is the best start since 2004.
Yeah, that's.
Their tie. Only their beginning tie is the best start since 2004. Yeah,
Scott
14 years.
Scott Van Pelt said it the best. It's only fitting that the Cleveland Browns break up their losing record with a tie.
Yep. That's
by not winning.
Yep. It's perfect.
But they did not lose.
That is so Cleveland Browns to do. Lose.
But if you are a Browns fan, you have to be encouraged.
You have to be.
Your biggest, probably your biggest rival besides the Ravens comes into your house and you haven't won there in over 2 years. And you get a tie. And honestly,
it wasn't a bad one either.
No, if your line could have blocked on that field goal, you're probably getting a win. You're getting a walk-off win at home against a huge in-division rival.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you have to be feeling good, because at the very least, you're going to be competitive this year. And I think as a Browns fan, if you expect anything beyond that, you need to calm the hell down, because y'all have won one game in 2 years.
Still the Browns.
I repeat, you have won one game in 2 years. You have gone 1-31 over the last 2 years. That's bad math.
No, you're right.
No, nope, yeah, 1-31. Okay, in the last two years.
What's great to see, though, about the Browns, though, just watching that game, get to see a little bit of it. You could see last year, no one even wanted to be there.
Yeah.
No one wanted to play for that organization. It was a joke. It was a laughingstock of the league. This year, you see the chemistry. You see that camaraderie building with people. I mean, Josh Gordon coming off a 2-year absence to perform how he did. I mean, back in midseason, you know, form with Jarvis Landry on the other side, that team looks good, man.
And and to Hugh Jackson's credit, to go through that, and I got to give the front office some credit. Usually, I mean, look at the Niners before they got Kyle Shanahan. You don't get 3 years to turn a franchise around. And when your franchise has been in the dumps as long as the Browns have been, you got to give a coach at least 3 years to see what he can do. Now, who knows what's going to happen the rest of the way, but it's obvious that with the offseason moves, the Browns have probably the best quarterback they've had on that team in 20 years, and now they have two of them. And they just look like they are going to be in a lot of games. They probably will get a few wins this year. I don't know. I think the over-under was at 6.5. I think that's a bit aggressive for the Browns.
I don't know. I see him topping that. I see him getting up to 7.
I can see him 7, going 7-9.
I see him going even this year.
I can see him going 8-8. It wouldn't be surprising.
No.
But, you know, I'm glad that the Browns gave this man a chance after the abysmal record and going 0-16 last year, and giving him a chance to kind of turn this franchise around. I hope that if they even perform up to 500, that they give him one more year, give him a 4-year run, and then kind of see where the team goes from there. But just credit to that front office, because it's so easy to just blame the head coach when things aren't going well and just can the whole thing. Did you have something?
I wanted to kind of change pace. Staying on this game, I wanted to kind of change pace over to Pittsburgh and kind of pick your brain a little bit on the Le'Veon situation. I mean,
so he missed out on a $853,000 game check yesterday. Mm-hmm. For us, we can't imagine that, because ain't nobody ever wanted to pay me $800,000 to show up to work. So
for a day?
Yeah, so...
Actually, not even for a day, for 48 minutes.
Yes, well, 60.
Oh, 60, sorry.
Not NBA, but yeah, I got what you're saying. So, yeah, I think it's easy for us to criticize and be like, what are you doing? But I'll say this about it. I've never seen a situation where other teammates are in your pockets talking about, you should come, you should report, you should play, you should put your body on the line for the greater good.
It's ridiculous.
Many of a bunch of different offensive linemen not only made comments to that effect, but put their names on it. And my question is, one of the offensive linemen, I can't remember his name because he's an offensive lineman, said he makes seven times more than me. He should show up and play. We're the one who make him look good and do all the work. I'm paraphrasing him. That's not a direct quote, but he did say he made seven times more than him. You realize your contract's going to come up too, right? You wouldn't like it if your teammates were in your pocket saying what you should do with your money and how you should just play for the money that you have on your contract. You wouldn't like that very much.
Not at all.
And in a league, I never understand when the labor sides with management and the front office of the Steelers has to be just rubbing their hands together, smiling, laughing, saying, great, great. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do any PR on this. Our players are doing it for us. And it's just ridiculous. It's as if we all work together, let's say, and one of us went to go ask for a raise and the rest of us were like, why is he going to ask for a raise? It's ridiculous. Just show up and do your job.
I mean, how many times have we seen in professional sports all across the entire board of it's a brotherhood? We all have to stick together. This is, you know, the players' union, you know, all this kind of different stuff against
respect
management.
The shield.
I'm talking about the brotherhood of professional
team.
Athletes against management, against their higher ups to make, you know, things fair and all accounts for their purposes. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this once, especially coming from offensive linemen that block for Le'Veon Bell. Ironically, this last December for Christmas, before the playoff, you know, before playoffs started and everything for Pittsburgh, Le'Veon bought his entire offensive line like $15,000 watches for the season, and you know, thanking him. So it's like, and granted, you know, $15,000 to these players is, you know, couch money, but. Where do you get off?
That's what I'm saying.
Where do you get off?
I don't
saying,
understand.
Hey, Dad's right. You got to play. It's like, no, you guys are brothers. You got to stick together.
He plays at the most disposable position in the NFL. Your shelf life in that league at that position is incredibly short. I think we've all heard the stat or the saying that NFL running backs go through the equivalent of a 30-mile-an-hour head-on car crash each and every week. So you're putting your body through that much pain for a very short amount of time. You don't have long to earn that money. Let that man get every dollar that he can, and I get it. You want him out there, but stay out of his pockets, man. It's just unprofessional, and it goes completely against everything, every code of, you know, sticking together and being teammates and being brothers and family over everything and all that kind of stuff. It's just ridiculous. So I was certainly surprised on some of those comments, but
now how do you feel about, you know, from a business standpoint, how do you feel about Le'Veon coming back? Do you think he can even come back now? Like, does he even have trust in his offensive linemen or his coaches or any player? Like,
I think that's
they're just going to talk crap in the locker room.
The first time a player misses an assignment, misses an easy block, and Le'Veon gets blown up, you're going to immediately wonder, was that intentional?
Right.
Right? Where that would never be a question before. The first time, Le'Veon has a unique running style, to say the least. I've never seen someone as patient as him. It almost looks, sometimes he gets handed the ball and it almost looks like he's just walking up to the line looking for a hole, and then boom, he's just gone. He explodes through it. So he does have almost a lazy style of running the ball, at least as far as perception. I know he's not a lazy player. No one gets to the NFL being lazy, but you're going to wonder on certain plays now, is he trying his hardest? Are his offensive linemen trying his hardest? If you're Pittsburgh, I think this guy should be traded as soon as possible.
Right. I mean, do they put up with him? I mean, do they put up with – look at James Conner. James Conner, the rookie they had last year – or the rookie that they got from Pittsburgh last year. Pittsburgh guy, a guy that can be a face, a young guy. He's, you know, 22, 23. He had, I think, 140, 135. Brad, look that up for me. I think
135 yards, two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. Averaging almost five yards a carry. I mean, as management and coaching, it's like, do we need Le'Veon? Do we want to pay him this astronomical number when we can still be on this rookie contract?
No, they should trade him as soon as they can. They should trade him while they still have some leverage.
Where can he go? Niners?
The Niners could definitely use a running back.
But who
caliber.
Can spend that kind of money, you know, on a trade? You know, who can
I don't
take
know.
Over that?
I honestly, I have no idea who has.
Maybe
that
Maybe Seattle. They're in need of a running back.
Even though Carson's leap yesterday was super dirty.
Yeah.
when he just leaped over that defender. That was nasty. Let's actually kind of go around the NFL a little bit more, if you guys don't mind moving off this Le'Veon Bell topic. The thing that surprised me was Jimmy Garoppolo throwing three picks yesterday, one of which returned
didn't surprise
for...
Me. Yeah, it didn't surprise me
Kids garbage.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Relax.
No. Fake Messiah. It's garbage.
Relax.
It's garbage.
Relax.
He's going to be average, but he's not going to be... He's not worth the money that they gave him, to be honest.
We'll see. I mean, it was one game. He's looked solid in the others. I do want to repeat that Kaepernick had the second best touchdown interception rate when the Niners decided to move on from him. And yes, technically, did Cap leave? Correct. Why? Because he was given information that the Niners were not going to pick up his deal. So what he ended up doing was trying to get off the Niners earlier so he'd hit free agency earlier, not realizing that him taking a knee was going to create a whirlwind of issues. And let's face it, he's being blackballed by the NFL, and God, I hope he wins his collusion case. More on Cap later in the show. We don't need to get into that. But I said that last year when we got Jimmy Garoppolo that I would be surprised if he was any better than Kaepernick. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback, hovering around, you know, that top 10, top 15. But I think that's probably his limit. I don't see him as being a top 5 QB in the NFL.
But, Jarrell, you were talking Jimmy Christ Garoppolo.
Because it was the first sign of any hope that the Niners had in 2 years.
This last game, I mean, granted, you're only as good as your last game, your last win. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we say in the biz. You know, I don't know if you guys play sports out there, but that's what goes on.
No, not at all. Zero.
The guy looked like a version of Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, he didn't look great yesterday. Here's the thing.
Let's put it up against the Vikings defense. You know, Vikings are a great team.
Top
three defense in the league.
And you're in their house.
And there was a lot of opportunities that the wide receivers missed and the tight ends missed. Yeah. So let's not also forget that part.
Yeah, I'm not going to freak out about it. I was just surprised after all the hype in the offseason that is how week one was going to go down. But the Niners had, as my boy Font said, shouts to him, the Niners played Minnesota to start the season off the last 3 years. The last 2 years, they won the opener, and the rest of the season was poop. So hopefully this year we lose, and the rest of the season is all gravy. So
that's logical.
Yeah, I don't see a problem in that. I do find it funny because I had a lot of my friends who are Niners fans telling me, oh, we're going 10-6, we're going 11-5. I'm like, pump the brakes a little bit, okay? We haven't been good in 3 years.
Let's just see where it goes.
I think an 8-8 season is a success. A 9-7 season would be a great season, I think, for us. But I don't think, I mean, that's not how fandom works. We like to get overzealous about these things. And, you know, we get a little too hyped. And I'm still going to call him Jimmy Jesus because he's still the savior of this franchise for the time being.
I feel like he's in his carpenter phase.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
And don't high five him too hard with your wristband on over here. What happened? You injured your wrist.
That looks like you're about to go rollerblading after this show.
It does.
Yeah, no, I was.
You better be able to hit dingers tomorrow. That's all.
Oh,
I
no,
care
like
about.
I said, I'm going for the cycle.
Okay,
going for the cycle.
You can. So. If you didn't know, TVP now has our very own softball team.
2-0.
We are 2-0.
We're playing against the other team that's 2-0 this week. Well, tomorrow.
Yep.
So
this is for the league lead. We are missing a couple of girls tomorrow. We'll need to talk about that after, fellas. We got to figure something out.
Yeah, we really do.
Especially our MVP candidate, Courtney. She is so good.
Courtney
Willard is ridiculous right now.
She is amazing at softball.
She dropped 300-foot bombs.
Yeah, she...
she's going to be missed tomorrow. Very missed. I've talked to her, and I'm trying to like get her to come, but it's not looking pretty right now.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do
have
a softball team.
She's doing a Le'Veon sit-out right now. She's just, we haven't
she
paid
wants
her.
More money.
Yeah, she got, she had her two good games. She's like, I want some money after this.
Yep.
I don't want to pay the league fee.
I can't really blame her.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, I get it. But
elsewhere, let's kind of burn through this real quick because we are up against the clock, the 6 o'clock hour here. You are listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on FM 90.1 KZFR. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the Foothills, and beyond. New England won. I have nothing to say about that. We all knew they were going to win. They're at home against in Foxborough against Houston. Houston has never won there.
It was a close game, though. 20-27, not bad.
Deshaun Watson came back. Tom Brady threw for 3 TDs, no surprise. And we'll see them in the Super Bowl again because, like,
you know. Usual. I mean, there's really no one to compete over there in the AFC, so.
Correct.
Except for the Raiders, but, like, again, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not anymore with Khalil.
The Bungles get a win. Andrew Luck made his return. I don't have much to say about that game. Do you guys have any observations on that? Miami and Tennessee played an 8-hour game yesterday. For those two teams to have to play an 8-hour game, I feel so bad for the fans of the Dolphins.
It was cool, though. At the end of that game, after 8 hours, some of the fans that stuck around, Ryan Tannehill had that non-contact ACL injury last year, sat the entire season out. He's been itching to come back. Looked good at times. So going off the field, he kind of had a cool moment tossing his literally everything but his skivvies tossing into the crowd. I mean, he tossed his shoulder pads, his helmet, his jersey, all the different fans that hung around. So that was pretty cool for those fans.
That was cool for sure. The game, not so much.
Not so much.
Tennessee
looks like a Division II football team.
Correct. And Marcus Mariota still doesn't look great, and I'm wondering if he's ever going to develop into something. Buffalo's terrible. I thought they were going to be a terrible football team. Yeah. Nathan Peterman might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. Strap on a pair of cleats in the NFL. And Joe Flacco, finally, I think Joe Flacco might be one of those guys who just needs a little pressure.
Yeah.
And having Lamar Jackson and, oh my God.
Which person Jackson? Are you talking about? Talking about wide receiver?
Robert Griffin III.
Okay, ooh, I was going to say, I'm like, we're talking about the quarterback.
RG3, it's been a long time since we mentioned his name around here.
Youngsters.
Mm-hmm. Having those two guys backing you up, I think put a little bit of pressure on Joe Flacco to perform, and perform he did yesterday, dropping an absolute dime to Crabtree in the back corner of the end zone. Crabtree made a great adjustment and reeled that touchdown in. I think the Ravens are going to be a contender this year as well.
As they keep playing the Bills.
Yep, right. I think anyone's going to look pretty solid against the Bills this year. I think they're going to win 2 games, maybe. Kansas City gets a win against division rival the Chargers.
How good is Tyreek Hill?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable talent.
First two touches of the game for him were touchdowns.
Yeah.
Punt return and then a 58-yard slant.
Sometimes sometimes you just got to take a risk on these off-the-field risks.
Yeah.
When the talent is that great, sometimes it's worth it, man. And Tyreek Hill was one of those guys dropped in the draft because of some off-the-field concerns. I heard some complaints about him pushing the guy away and then doing the backflip when he got in the end zone. I don't really care about that stuff, man. We don't know what goes on in that locker room. He might be the best teammate on the team. We don't know. It's entertainment. Him backflipping is entertaining.
Yeah, all beef aside once you hit the field.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Your Denver Broncos got a big win against Seattle, 27-24.
We're going to the bowl. Going to the bowl.
Case Keenum looked pretty okay.
What do you mean pretty okay? He had a great game.
Did he?
Peep those stats for me.
All right, I'm pulling
them
up.
He had
right
a great
now.
Game.
All right,
oh, 329, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Okay, but 2 of them were tips, okay?
Okay.
2 of them were tips.
All right, why don't you...
Commanded the...
That's still an interception.
Yeah, I know that, Brad. But it wasn't like, you know, like Sam Darnold's first interception of his first thrown career to start Monday Night Football. And a pick 6.
Yeah.
Okay? There was just a wobbly duck.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, he's a rookie, so...
We all can't have Aaron Rodgers, Brad. Some of us need to just settle with Case Keenum. And we will.
He's a good... It's a good settle right there.
It's better than Trevor Siemian. I'll tell you that right now. Shout out to Northwestern.
That's for sure. The Washington football team beats the Chargers. And the Dallas Cowboys... They lose to Cam Newton.
To a suspect Panthers.
Yeah.
Hey, but we got a guy from Chico on the team starting. Jeff Swaim graduated with me in PV.
Oh, for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Shouts to him. Still hate the Cowboys.
I mean, no.
But go Swaim.
He might be the only jersey I buy for the Cowboys, but.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I've always hated that franchise.
Honestly, I hope they don't do well. Yeah. I hope he does well.
They're crypt keeper of an owner.
He's got big shoes to fill with Jason Witten leaving.
Yeah, that was actually a shock because he was a third string, and then he comes up, starts it. He's been working hard getting there, so.
Shout out.
Congratulations, Jeff Swaim, on your starting position. So.
Shouts to him. Shouts to Chico all over the show.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Noise in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Derek apologized. He said he was going to show up, but after his flight and bike ride, he wasn't feeling too hot. Two is spelled T-O-O, Derek. then I turned on football, and it was set in stone that I wasn't moving. I knew y'all had it covered. Thanks for the confidence, buddy. We do have your back. We are here for you to relax and put your feet up because flying that hour and a half flight must be so exhausting.
Is he pulling a Le'Veon Bell? Is he trying to like hold out for the contract?
Yeah,
get here. Just do this.
Every now and then we need some time off, we had last week off.
I was going to say we had last
2 weeks. Wasn't good enough,
weeks.
Apparently, for Derek.
Didn't we have the last 2 weeks?
Even his sister is going to show up on the show. So thanks for being here, Derek.
We love you, buddy.
Statman Brad, you ready for your North State update, sir?
Yeah, you know what? I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. What's up, y'all? It's the North State Update. Let's start out with Chico Soccer. No. All right, no Tigers. All right. There we go. Thank you. I was going to say.
Wildcats. And second of all goes. Wildcats.
All right, anyways. Warthog, all right, well, I'll work on it. It's not my best. Anyways, women's soccer right now starting off 1-0-3 overall record. Thursday tied at nothing, 0-0 against Seattle Pacific up in Seattle. Came down Sunday to play Dominican University and beat them 3-1. Their next game is Friday against Cal State LA, 4:30. And they will be playing Sunday against Cal State Dominguez Hills at 11:30. Men's soccer starting off pretty well with a 2-1 record. Saturday tying Fresno Pacific 2-2. Their next game will be on Friday against Cal State LA. Their game time is at 7 o'clock p.m. And their next game after that is on Sunday against Cal State Dominguez Hills at 2 p.m. So head on out. This is actually going to be a really good season for the women and men's. It's a slow start for the women's, but projected from the pickups that they've had, it's going to be a good year with the freshmen and the transfers coming in. Now going to high school football, PV starting out 2-1, coming back from the loss against
Vikings.
Against Valley Christian. How'd you know?
Just, I know.
Wow, look at you being locally just immersed.
I read things,
you read
dude.
Things. Very nice. So, yes, against Valley Christian. They beat River Valley out of Yuba City 31-28. Their next game is actually a pretty big one against Rancho Cotati. It'll be Max Preps. They will be playing in Roanoke Park Friday, 7:30. So they'll be looking to go 3-1 this season. And across the way, across town, Chico football starting out 3-0.
Panther Pride, baby.
A couple
it's that
big
new stadium
wins.
Vibe.
Yes, sir.
A couple big wins for them. A win over. No, don't do that for them. They're the Panthers.
Hey, don't
they're
be biased. Don't be biased.
I'm very biased, all right?
Don't be biased.
Viking Pride. But yes, no. A lot of love for Chico. Their 3-0 start. And a big win over Yuba City, 28-12. I don't know what it is about River Valley and Yuba City out of Yuba City. Like, they're always a tough matchup for both PV and Chico, even though they're not in the same. Like, they're not bad teams, but they're not on the same level as Chico and PV when it comes down to, like, their talent. But they're always a tough matchup every year for them. So it's a pretty big win. They're going to be playing next at Chico High on their new stadium at 7:30 against Sutter. So it's going to be a nice little weekend for Chico Sports. So I'm
thank
very
you,
excited
sir.
To hear that.
For the person calling in, we appreciate you listening. We are not taking calls today as we are man down, so we don't have someone to answer the phone. Sorry. Thank you for calling in. If you want to talk to us, call immediately after the show at 6:30. You can probably talk to one of us.
Or text.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have a text line?
Yes.
Blow up Jero's phone.
I'm trying to remember the number.
Lena, let me look up your phone number and we'll have him text you specifically.
Let's not do that. I've done that once before. How'd and I almost had to change my number. I had a lot of people texting in requests for songs. And on a Wednesday, and my show was on a Sunday night. So, and thank you for listening, but I'd need to detach from this place sometimes, you know? Let's get into a look into the future. Let's talk some football picks, parlays, and the likes. John?
How you feeling? Feel all right?
You got some numbers on the board?
I do, yeah, yeah. So this is a new segment that I want to get going here for this hour slot. Being that it is, you know, football is back, I am a big guru in college and NFL. Actually, I shouldn't say guru because I think guru.
Guru implies you know something.
Yeah. I win, though. So that maybe implies that I know something. So, what I want to do is give out some parlays of the week, both college and NFL.
Yes, let's win some money.
Let's document it. And at the end of the season, we'll see how good I was for the season. And then you can kind of believe me or not, and that can follow into next season. For those of you that don't know, first-time listener, parlays in sports betting. It's grouping teams together. So for me personally, I like to do three teams. Anything over that, you kind of lose your odds dramatically for having all these teams pan out in your spreads and or money lines. So I do three teams. You have to have all three teams win either however you bet, either money line to win it up straight up, spread, which is through the Las Vegas sportsbook that adds points to either team to even the odds. So last week, I want to go over a couple of my picks for you guys. Last week, we did a three-team college pick'em parlay. And we did Mississippi State. Mississippi State has a Heisman front runner. Quarterback, they've been doing really well in the SEC, kind of a quiet team, and they were a -7, ended up winning 30-10, so that one panned out for us, which was great. I also took Alabama, University of Alabama, because why?
Shocker.
They play no one. Has no one looked at their schedule? They don't play a ranked team until November.
I think Cal State Fullerton next week.
It's bad.
They played Arkansas State.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. They played Arkansas State last week. The spread was 35.5 points. Given to Alabama.
You definitely got that.
Yeah, they won 57-7. So usually Alabama, it's a safe bet. I don't care what the spread is. If they're playing, I think at the ninth game of their schedule, the second to last game of their schedule, they're playing Cathedral, which is a joke for Alabama trying to have this prestige
on this whole schedule thing. But
and then following up that, so we're at two wins. Folks, we're at two wins. I need one more win to hit my parlay. I took SMU +23.5 against TCU. TCU is a prolific scoring offense that has kind of looked subpar after their first week. So SMU is kind of the team, lower division team on the rise. I took SMU +23.5. Was not in my favor. TCU came out firing. They won 42-12. So that kind of diminished my parlay there, boys, which was a little, you know, punch in the gut.
Yeah.
But we'll get over it because NFL is the very next day, and there's always a next day to win.
There's always a next day.
And that I did.
Going
to my NFL picks, I took the Ravens -4 against the quarterback-less Bills. The Bills are trash. And I'm telling everyone for the rest of the season, I don't care if the spread is 48, you take anyone against
over the Bills.
Anyone. The Bills are garbage.
Falcons of the NFL right now? Or
they're
no, because the Falcons are good, but you just can't trust them because they're going to hurt you.
Just wanted to hear that. Just wanted to hear that.
Next, we took Bengals +3 over the Giants. Squeak that one out. Bengals over the Colts and squeak that out. Actually won outright by 10. And then I took the Jags -3. Jalen Ramsey going against OBJ. That defense is stout, so I took the Jags -3.
panned out nice for us. We won all three there, so it was a nice little payday away from the college pick.
Very nice.
This week, I have some picks. I will never say this is one of the things. I'll never say lock, because that's jinxing yourself in sports betting. You never say any team is a lock because it's sports.
Because
anything can happen. You know,
it looks good on paper.
Aaron Rodgers could hurt, and you know what happened to the Bears. So. So let's move on to my college picks this week. Oklahoma against Iowa State as -17.5. Oklahoma has been shattering teams the last 2 weeks, winning by 49 and by 28. Both teams, FAU and UCLA, both teams that are respectable teams, just beating the brakes off them. So I like Oklahoma -17.5. SMU, I'm taking them again 2 weeks in a row. They broke my heart week one.
They're 0-2.
They are 0-2, yes. But going against a Michigan team that is just confused with Harbaugh, that is a +35.5.
SMU to win?
SMU is +35.5. So jump on that. It's a nice little pick 'em. And then UCF, without Frost, they've still have not dropped the ball. They're still scoring at a prolific amount. They are -14.5 against UNC that has just looked pitiful this year. So look for those teams in college. NFL picks. I like the Chargers -7 against who? The Bills.
Yep.
The Bills, obviously. That's going to be a blowout. Patriots -2. Anytime you get the Patriots under 3 points, you take them. That is the rule. If any bet. Granted, they are against the Jags, which is a heavy, stout defense. But any time that Patriots have a 2 on their line, I'm taking it. And then the other one, Jarrell's going to like this one. I'm taking Giants +3 over who?
The
Dallas Cowboys.
Oh. Hey, I'll take it.
Dallas Cowboys are fluttering. So those are my picks. We'll check back in next week and see how I panned out.
Thank you, sir. We are degenerates around here, and we don't hide it. We keep it real with you guys. Let's because one Isumaki couldn't make it to the show. Let's go to the better Isumaki if we can. Aaron, we got you there.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Aaron, what is happening? How's LA? How's the weather?
Dude, I cannot believe that Derek decided not to show up today.
Right?
I mean, apparently, bike ride and football was more important than doing his job.
I mean, guys, okay. Give him a break. That long flight.
That
really
long flight really
him.
Took it out of him.
I mean, honestly.
Did he walk home? I don't understand.
No, actually, on the way here, I saw him on his bike. He looked very refreshed. He gave me a nice little wave, and he went on by.
He threw you peace as he whipped back.
Honestly, peace, and just. Whew.
That's great.
It was great.
Disappointed.
Well, we all are, so.
Yeah, I'm okay.
We'll get over it. Yeah, I'm not really that upset.
So we're talking what, U.S. Open? Is that what we're talking today?
U.S. Open, that's Woo! Right.
This was a fun one.
That's some good storylines.
So explain what happened in that match with Serena, because I was watching it, but I wasn't watching it with the volume on, and it was.
You missed a lot.
I did miss a lot.
In the grand scheme of things, not really. She made a mountain out of a molehill. She threw a temper tantrum. She didn't get her way, and she lost. That's she claimed that the judge was sexist, because she gave him a penalty for calling him a thief. Yeah, you know what? It happens.
But Aaron, have you ever seen an entire game penalty for in any female or men's tennis for?
It is unusual. It is unusual. But the thing is. So she got upset initially because he gave her a warning, said, you're being coached, not allowed. And she lost it. She just completely lost it. That happens all the time. People get those penalties those warnings all the time. And she just, I don't know, she was having an off day, I guess.
I mean, when you look at it, she wasn't, those penalties weren't too crucial when it comes down to it, but I don't think she was going to win either. The what was the Japanese tennis player that she was facing?
Naomi Osaka.
Yeah, she was killing it. She was, owning Serena for the most part. And even in the first set, coming in the second set, it looked like it was going to be her game to lose at that point.
Yeah. So, she wasn't having a great day. Something else happened, and she just lost it. So, I don't think that her claims of sexism are found have any there's no weight to them. Also, tennis is an antiquated sport. They told her at the beginning that she couldn't wear that, cat suit that she wore at the French Open. Do we remember that? It was like the bodysuit.
Yeah.
Look, and tennis was like, you gotta wear a skirt. okay, welcome to the 20th century. You know, so tennis is just an antiquated sport. That's just par for the course.
Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, it did seem a bit ridiculous from what I was watching, but she was going off, man.
Yeah.
But shouts to Naomi Osaka, is it?
The
first Japanese-born Grand Slam winner. So
and she was 20 years old and beat Serena.
Can we talk about this for a second, though? Listen, not to knock what she did was great. She plays for Japan, but however, as Derek would say, this is what really grinds my gears.
Yes.
She is Japanese, her mother, Japanese, her father, Haitian, born and raised in the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Doesn't count. She's American.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I mean...
So... you know,
I mean, not taken away from the Grand Slam, but...
No, but she's American. We're giving it to America.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, let's give it to another American. Let's be real.
yeah, we'll take it.
So do you think... Do you think, beyond the antics of this match, of this final, do you think that Naomi is kind of the new front runner for the women's division in tennis?
I don't know about front runner, but I think, you know, she's up and coming. You know, she's going to do great things in the sport of tennis. I think Serena is still the queen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She might be 37, she might be, maybe a little past her peak, but, you know, Naomi's got a long ways to go. But, yeah, she was playing great, she looked really strong, she was so focused amid all of the turmoil that was happening. She's got great potential.
Nice. Now, what happened over on the men's side?
Well, not much. It was actually kind of a fairly eventful U.S. Open because it was crazy hot. And one of the weird things about tennis is there aren't really any rules about what to do when it gets hot. It's sort of arbitrary. So, you know, Roger Federer lost in the third round. Although Novak Djokovic, he won, and he also won Wimbledon. So this is the third time that he's won both in a season.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually crazy impressive, which kind of got overshadowed by Serena's little tantrum.
Sure.
But, yeah, the weather was crazy. And, Federer didn't make it out. And Djokovic won after having a horribly injury-plagued season last year. And this year he kind of, it was a little touch and go there. But after he won Wimbledon and then winning the U.S., you know, nothing's stopping him.
Yes or no, does Rafael Nadal look like he could play NFL linebacker?
Yeah, he might have gained a little bit of weight.
That guy is the most jacked tennis player I've ever seen in my life. He's like a superhero.
I need to see this.
Yeah.
What?
He's enormous. His arms are enormous. Granted, I mean, he's a tennis player, so they relatively should be, but he looks like a freaking bodybuilder out there.
Yeah, he's big.
And I think it has changed a little bit. He really does. I feel like he looks bigger than, you know, in years past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Which, surprisingly, you would think it would help his game, but he always, he comes
but
to those,
muscle is
you know,
so heavy,
quarter
you know?
To semifinal matches and chokes.
Yeah, that's very true. Aaron, thank you. What are you going to be covering for us next week?
Next week we got the FedEx Cup Finals for golf.
All right.
Tiger's right in the thick of it.
Oh, I was going to say, when is that Tiger-Mickelson matchup?
It's in November.
November? Okay, we got a while. Okay, yeah. I'll come back in November.
Guess when I will not be watching.
That FedEx Cup, though, Aaron, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you have to say because I've been watching that.
I'm excited, too.
All right, as always, great work, Aaron. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for staying committed and showing up and doing this for us, even though your brother, who lives down the street from here, decided he had better things to do. We really appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you later.
All right,
sounds good.
We want to thank Aaron Isumaki, as always, our LA correspondent. It's great to have a woman's voice on here. She does a great job. She comes prepared. She knows what she's talking about. She sounds excellent, and she takes time out of her busy schedule to call in each and every week. So we want to thank her, even though her brother doesn't find it nearly as important to be here, even though he's one of the original people on the show. Not nearly as important to make it here, even though his sister has consistently been on the show all summer long. So thank you, Aaron, for at least holding down the Isamaki name while your brother lays on a couch right now.
Man, Derek's just under a bus right now.
Which is where he will stay
you
until
guys,
he shows up
he's
again.
Pressured. He needs to set the lineup for tomorrow. He needs time.
He needs to set the softball lineup. Yeah.
Hey, we'll go over that, Derek, tomorrow. We'll figure this out. Moving around.
I did want to talk about this Nike campaign for just a few minutes. Yeah. Because whether or not you agree or disagree with what Kaepernick did, and Lord knows we have spent enough time on this show talking about it, I think we all feel that he has the right to do what he did, and none of us were personally offended. Because, once again, this was not a protest about the anthem or the flag, even though many of you out there decided... Or the military, many of you decided to hijack this protest and not make it about black people being murdered by police, rather to make it about flags and whatever else. We don't want to get into it. We supported the fact that he did it, but beyond that, I'm sure we're all kind of split exactly where we feel about it. So the Nike campaign aired, what's the exact phrase? It's he sacrificed everything to...
Sacrifice everything, even if...
Stand up for something, yes. Even if it means sacrificing
That's
everything.
It.
Thank you. And people have been parsing the campaign. You know, he didn't sacrifice everything. He's a professional athlete, so he lost millions of dollars. Big deal.
That's his life, his career right there.
Well, and let's, to be fair, yes, he was not in the armed forces. He did not lose an arm or a leg or his life defending freedom and things like that. However, he did set aside his professional career, or he cost himself his professional career and his ability to make millions of dollars, regardless of what Nike's paying him, because he did stand up for many disenfranchised people throughout this country. And I thought this was a genius move on Nike's part. Nike's dominated the shoe industry for about 3 decades now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 4. About the mid-'80s is when they really started taking over. They have been dominating the shoe industry for that long. And part of the reason is they are genius marketers. They have some of the best commercials you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. And if you think they did this all willy-nilly and were like, hey, that'd be kind of a cool idea, they didn't. I can guarantee you they had many people, many PR people and such, doing damage control, doing risk analysis, getting an idea of what this would cost them. And what did it cost them? It gave them about $31 million increase in online revenue this past week. So I thought, again, this was a genius move by them. It was a bold move by them. But they weren't the only ones. Adidas was trying to sign Kaepernick, and so was Puma. So, look, a lot of people, and you idiots out there burning your Nike gear.
That is the best thing for Nikes.
It's
best
hilarious.
Thing for Nikes.
It is great.
You're going to come back and buy them 6 months later.
You still bought them.
Yeah.
Like, there's
paid for them.
You're not doing anything. It's like there's a lot of things on social media. I kind of like to go to this for just 1 second.
Yeah.
Donate your stuff. There are, if you're talking about your veterans that you're supporting, that it's like, oh, Kaepernick's not disrespecting them, send it to the
great
veterans
point.
That are. Homeless. They're homeless and they have nothing. And you're over there burning your stuff that you bought for $100. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Sorry, it irks me.
And I mean, just from the standpoint of Nike too being genius in their marketing realm and just in their sales world, it's ironic because Nike just signed a 10-year contract with the NFL for apparel and merchandising.
You can't back
so
out of that.
So they are the official they are the official apparel of NFL for the next decade, and then they turn around and give the proverbial bird to the NFL going, hey, well, we're also going to pitch this as well, and we're going to increase our entire revenue stream by over 30%. I mean,
pretty genius.
Welcome back to the NFL, Kaepernick.
It is the most OG gangster move I've ever seen.
It's a power move. Without a doubt, it's a power move.
It's the greatest.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm really happy that they did that. It's, It's one of those things where, I don't know, I just thought it was bold of Nike to do this.
Right.
And what they did is there is a significant amount of people the last year that stopped watching the NFL, not because of the anthem protest or whatever you want to call it, because Kaepernick took a knee, because Kaepernick was getting blackballed. And those voices were not being heard by the NFL or really anyone else. They were never really discussed. It was all about the conservatives. And we were talking about how, you know, this I don't want to make it left or right, but for the most part, it seemed that the people who had an issue with this seemed tended more often than not to be on the right. And those voices were being heard, and the NFL was acknowledging those people. Trump was acknowledging those people. But there wasn't anyone really standing up for the people that were with Cap, the people that were like, hey, yeah, we think black people being murdered by police is a issue in this country, and we appreciate Kaepernick trying to bring attention to it. Those voices were kind of drowned out, and the national media didn't pay attention to them. The NFL decided to ignore them, and Nike said, you know what? There's a lot of kids, and let's face it, Nike got popular because young black youth in the inner cities made Nike cool. And that is 100%. Exactly how Nike.
You look at the
became
Fab
cool.
Five.
Yeah.
The Fab Big Five time. Jordan.
There's no 50-year-old Bryce buying those shoes.
No.
Right. So that's a great point. Though that's who Nike has profited off of. That's how Nike became so popular. And so it was cool to see Nike kind of reach out and say, hey, we hear your voices. Your voices are important to us. Your heroes, the people you look up to are important to us. Boom, here's a Kaepernick ad in the middle of Thursday night football, the first game of the season. Yeah. Here you go. Eat.